Now the special English program, American Stories. This week's story is called Tomatoes. It was written by John Livingston Jr. Here is Walter Guthrie with our story.
Mother let no one touch the tomatoes. Why was a mystery to me. I watched her working in the tomato patch. Her sun-browned hands seemed to touch each plant, each green leaf, lovingly, as if it were a newborn child. I was worried. She spent so much time in the hot sun. I decided to speak to her about it. This was not easy. Since Father's death, she liked to be alone. She was withdrawn most of the time. Mother, I ask, why do you tire yourself out like a young farmhand? You have plenty of help. Oh, Jimmy. She said it in a slow breath as she rose to her feet. She brushed some damp hair from her cheek and breathed deeply for a moment. I had never seen her so short of breath. I had also noticed that she seemed always tired around the house. "Whew," she said. "Isn't it a hot day for the end of June? A real scorcher." "You should stay indoors," I answered. "There's no reason to waste your strength out here." She smiled and let me lead her back to the house, holding my arm. "You must not worry about me, Jimmy." She walked beside me with slow, careful steps. "You have your law studies to worry about. Besides, what do you know about running a farm?" "Well, not much, I guess." My arm stiffened. She must have sensed that I was hurt, because she quickly talked about something else. "Are you sure they will not object at the college, you staying home, I mean?" "No, Father's funeral was so near the end of the class term, there's no reason to go back. They'll mail my marks. Besides, I like being here with you. I never seem to be with you enough." "Yes, yes, it is nice," she said, entering the kitchen. "Now, you sit down and let me get you some lemonade. I know how you used to love lemonade when you were little." I smiled and shook my head at her. "I always hated lemonade, Mother. It was Janie who loved it. My sister Janie died at 10 when we were both children." "Oh, heavens above," she laughed. "I'm going to be a joke around the farm soon, an absent-minded old woman." She went to the sink and washed her red, tomato-colored hands. "The tomatoes are good this year, Jimmy. Big and firm, and lots of them ripe already." "Yes, I saw them. And I've seen you out in that field every day since the funeral. Why don't you let the help worry about the tomatoes? You have enough to do in the house." She turned and looked at me. "Jimmy," she said firmly, "don't interfere with my work on the farm. I know you mean well, but there's so little you understand about things. I'm trying to learn to live with my loneliness, Jimmy. I must do it in my own way." She was close to tears. I said nothing more. She walked hurriedly out of the kitchen. I sat for a long time without moving. I did not know what to do. My thoughts were all mixed up. I knew I had interfered and did not blame her for telling me not to. But this only made me feel even more useless. Every attempt I made to understand her problem only drove us further apart. I had never been a part of the farm, really. Father gave up trying to teach me how to farm early in my life. He saw how much I loved books. I was given small jobs around the farm, and no more was expected from me. When business began to get better, seasonal farm workers were used, and even my small jobs were taken away from me. That seemed to be the final break with the farm. Then there was school, college. Janie was Mother's pride and delight. She would always be outdoors, running between the rows of vegetables and fruits, laughing and asking questions. She was everything my parents could have wished for during her 10 years of life. Now, Mother was left with only a son who was a stranger, and an empty house, full of memories of Father's deep laughter and the lively footsteps of my sister. I felt bad and left the kitchen and walked through the hallway and up the stairs to my room. Later, Mother came to the door and looked in. "Mrs. Ostrom was just visiting Jimmy. She's such a nice woman. Remember when she used to bring you cake when you had the chicken pox?" "I remember her, but it was Janie who had the chicken pox," I laughed. "Yes, yes, of course, it was Janie." She was lost in her thoughts for a moment, but checked herself when she saw I was watching her. "Well, I'm going to take a nice nap. I'll pick some of those tomatoes later." I found it hard to read my book that afternoon. I kept wondering about Mother. I was puzzled. Why did she give so much of herself to the tomatoes? It was almost dinner time when I went downstairs. Mother was not in the kitchen, and dinner had not been started. The house was empty. I left the house and began to walk around the farm. The ground seemed strange under my feet. I tried to make myself realize that this was where I was born and grew up, but it was impossible. The farm seemed to be part of someone else's life, someone I knew, but who was not me. I walked toward the tomato patch. I knew where Mother was. She was at the farthest end of the patch, too far from the house for me to have seen her before. A large basket of tomatoes lay on the ground. She was on her knees beside it. Her face was buried in her hands. Her body was shaking. She looked small, smaller than she usually did. I went to her. When she realized she was not alone, she began to wipe her eyes in shame. "I know I'm interfering again, Mother," I said softly, "but I must know how I can help. Please tell me why you spend all your time out here when it makes you so unhappy." She was silent for a long time. "Jimmy," she said finally, not looking at me, but staring straight ahead, "your father planted these tomatoes." "Father? But he was so ill." She put out a hand, gently touching the bush in front of her. "He was too ill to work, but he would not let the walls of a sick room shut him in and smother him to death. He loved the fresh air and sun and working in the ground. You could not stop him from doing something. I tried to talk him out of it, and he promised not to tire himself. And so every day he came out and planted a few tomato seeds. And these plants are the only part of the crop that was his. I feel they're the only part of him I have left, still living. And they will be gone at the end of the summer. I got on my knees beside her and put her head on my shoulder. Mother, I know I've never been much use to you here. But you're going to be a lawyer, Jimmy. I always wanted you to live the life you chose for yourself. I know, Mother, but this is part of my life, too. I regret not taking more of an interest. I feel so unnecessary. I want to spend part of my time here, even after I begin working as a lawyer. Think you could teach me a little about farming? She did not answer. It sounds foolish to talk this way after all these years, doesn't it? But, Mother, there is more of Father still living than these tomatoes. You have to realize that. There is a part of Father that will live after this summer and the next. Slowly, she drew away from me. Our eyes met, and a change came over her face. Her expression showed surprise at what I had said. She touched my cheek. "Jimmy," she cried. "Oh, Jimmy, I'm such an old fool." Then she stood up, and with the youthful energy I always remember in her, got her basket before I could take it, and walked sharply ahead of me to the house. Later, at the dinner table, while pouring me a second cup of coffee, she said, "You know, Jimmy, the profit on tomatoes is higher all the time. Next year, I think I'll have a bigger and better crop." She smiled over the coffee pot. "If you spend your vacation here, would you like to help with it?"
You have heard the American story, Tomatoes. It was written by John Livingston, Jr. Your storyteller was Walter Guthrie. The story was published in Best American Short Stories, Volume 8, edited by Robert Oberfirst. This story is copyrighted. All rights reserved. This is Shirley Griffith.